Life is an endless pain with a painful end. And I don't know where you are this morning, but it could be that right now you have been pushed to one of these rugged edges of life where you feel like giving up. But I want you to know that no matter how painful life can be, I want you to know that there's always hope in Jesus.
Welcome to Living God's Way. Coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, Pastor Grant led us into the Garden of Gethsemane, where we witnessed the agony of Christ and considered the meaning of the cup. Turn with us now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, beginning at verse 47, as Pastor Grant explores the lessons of Gethsemane. Pastor Grant.
In April 1957, Dr. Martin Luther King, speaking at the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, said, "There is hardly anyone here who has not at some time been pushed to the rugged edges of life where we felt like giving up." Dr. King said, "Christian and non-Christians both experience this. In the Old Testament, Isaiah cried, 'Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself.'" He continued, "In modern life, we can hear an earnest believer like Carlyle saying, 'It seems that God sits in his heaven and does nothing.'" He then made mention of a famous philosopher who, in the midst of his despair, cried out, "Life is an endless pain with a painful end." And I don't know where you are this morning as you have come into the house of God. It could be that right now you have been pushed to one of these rugged edges of life where you feel like giving up. But I want you to know that no matter how painful life can be, I want you to know that there's always hope in Jesus. Matthew 26:38 says, Jesus was so troubled in soul that he was right at the point of death. Matthew Henry, one of the great Bible commentators, he indicates that the sorrow Jesus experienced was so crushing, no mere mortal could bear it and live. When we sit and recognize that Jesus was not experiencing this sorrow because of anything that he had done, that it was because of your sin and my sin, that he was sorrowing because of what he knew was ahead of him, to bear your sin and my sin. Oh, I tell you, when I think of it, it just makes me want to say thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much. But then, what lessons can we learn from Gethsemane? I want to just point out three lessons we can learn from Gethsemane. Number one, I believe Gethsemane points to us the supremacy of God's will. Jesus asked, "If it is possible, let this cup pass." You know, there are a lot of people argue about, was Jesus Christ human or not? There you have Jesus' humanity. It is as clear as ever, as because like any other human, Jesus wanted to avoid suffering. But I don't want you to miss verse 42, because if you'll notice that there is a big switch in verse number 42. Because the first time Jesus says in verse number 42, he said, "My Father." Earlier he said in verse 39, "My Father, if it" what? "If it is possible." But in verse 42, he says, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken from me." Jesus realizes it's not possible for this to happen. But despite the fact Jesus knew exactly what was in the cup, he said, "Thy will be done." You know, I am still of the mindset that despite what we say, most Christians are expecting an easy life after they get saved. Would you agree with me that we may say it differently? In fact, I heard a testimony on TV just last week, and this young lady, she had just gotten saved, and she said She knows that all her problems and difficulties are behind her. Wow, she's got a big surprise coming. But you see, many times we believe that we are entitled to a better life. We're entitled to an easier life. Now I have come to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I should have plain sailing from here on out. But the Bible does not teach that. Although we may turn on our television sets and see that commonly mentioned from some of the preachers of today, the Bible does not say that. The Bible, in fact, tells us to think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's coming your way. Because would I disappoint you on this snowy, cold day if I told you that God has a trial just sized just for you? He has a trial with your name on it. And it might not arrive tomorrow morning. It might not arrive next week. But believe me, it's coming. And it's possible that this trial, as we said earlier, this trial might push you to the rugged edge. And it's possible, I'm speaking to somebody, and you're there right now. You're going through the trial. So is there anything we can learn from the experience Jesus had here in the Garden of Gethsemane? Here's one thing I don't want you to miss. Because sometimes we miss that Jesus prayed to his Father, and somehow many of us are under the impression that his Father did not answer him. But his Father did. You say, Brother Brian, show me that in Scripture. Luke 22, 43, 44. And here's what Luke 22, 43 says. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then Dr. Luke adds something that we may easily overlook. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Amen. Father, if it's possible, take this cup. Father doesn't take the cup, but Father dispatches an angel from heaven to strengthen the Lord Jesus in this hour of intense suffering, in this hour of intense trial. The Lord Jesus finds an angel dispatched to strengthen him in his hour of need. You see, Carlyle, I quoted Carlyle before, but Carlyle was wrong when he said God sits in his heaven and does nothing. That is not true. My God will answer. In your hour of great need, you can rest assured that Jesus is touched by the feelings of your infirmities. You can rest assured that God does care. But I want you to realize that although God cares, God has a tendency not to do it your way. Amen. Because your way and my way, as Jesus illustrated to us in the flesh, in the natural is, take this cup from me. Don't let me feel the pain. Don't let me feel the hurt. Solve the problem, God. But sometimes God's way is to let you have the problem, but find a way to strengthen you. Somebody say amen. And so we come to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7 through number 10. And you remember the Apostle Paul is here struggling. He has this thorn in the flesh. And he tells us that three times he asked the Lord to remove this thorn in the flesh. Because like any mortal, just like you, the Apostle Paul is saying, God, I don't want to suffer. God, I don't want to feel this pain. Am I talking to somebody here this morning who's right there and you're saying, God, I'm feeling pain. I don't want to feel this pain, this emotional pain, the stress I'm going under. God, take it away. The Apostle Paul, Lord, take it away. Three times. And here's what God says in verse number 7. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, sometimes our trials are just to keep us humble. Oh, you don't realize sometimes as Christians our heads can get a little bit big. The Apostle Paul said, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this, he says, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, what did he say? My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And the Apostle Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And my friend, if you're going through it this morning, if you're one of those that you're right in the middle of that trial that has your name on it, if you're right there right now, I want you to know that despite what other people might tell you, that the grace of God is sufficient. This might seem so trite, but God is letting us know, as believers in Jesus Christ, His grace is sufficient. But sometimes we don't believe it is. And we keep worrying, what am I going to do next year? If such and such doesn't happen by next year, what am I going to do? And the same grace that is sufficient for today, is sufficient for tomorrow, it's sufficient for next month, it's sufficient for next year. The grace of God is sufficient. Hallelujah. The grace of God. And so the Apostle Paul says, therefore, he will rather boast, because he realizes that when drama comes, when challenges come, as he responds, submitting to the will of God and resting on the grace of God, he recognizes that he can experience the strength of God. Listen, let me tell you, sometimes it's easy to preach and talk about the grace of God till you're in the middle of the trial. But when your foot is in the fire, that's the time for us to understand and depend upon God. My brother and sister, this is not all theory. This is reality. The grace of God is sufficient. In our hour of greatest need, we can rest assured that God will always be there to strengthen us. The same God who strengthened, the same Father who strengthened His Son. Is that encouraging to know? That this same Father, listen, my brother, He's going to be there. Young lady, this God, He's going to be right there to strengthen you and to help you through that moment of greatest trial. But listen, the point I'm talking about here is that what we learned in the garden is the supremacy of God's will. And what you and I need to do is to, in our hour of trial, we may say, God, if it is possible, and then if it is not possible, but at the end of the day, what we need to say and mean it from the depths of our soul, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, might I be that type of a Christian. And oh, I pray that you would speak to God this morning and say, God, help me that I might be that type of a Christian who might follow the example of our blessed Lord, who in my hour of challenge, in my hour of testing, in my hour of trial, I might be willing to submit to your will, recognizing the supremacy of the will of God. But second, what lesson can we learn? Second lesson, the indifference of humanity. Jesus was experiencing deathly sorrow. I try and get the picture. Jesus is experiencing deathly sorrow. He's at the point of death. He's sweating blood, clots of blood. And what were they doing? They were sleeping. Now, don't forget, he said, watch with me. And that it implies that they're to pay close attention. Danger was lurking, because of course Jesus knew what was lurking. But these guys went right to sleep. 3 times Jesus had to come and ask them, are you sleeping? Can Jesus count on you? Can Jesus count on me?
This message is part of a series on the Passion of Christ that Pastor Grant will wrap up during our Easter weekend services. You are invited to visit us, but if that's not possible, please call to order a CD or DVD, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, to view these messages.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550. Now, let's rejoin Pastor Grant as he concludes today's message.
Do you know it's possible to listen to a message like this and leave here totally indifferent? You can listen to a message like this about what Jesus has done for you, and you can walk out of here and say, I'm so glad. Wasn't that nice? Wasn't that nice that Jesus suffered like that? Oh, I think that was really nice. Well, he really loves people, doesn't he? You can leave here this morning and it means absolutely nothing. You could come in this morning unsaved and you could go out unsaved because you are indifferent to the message of God. But then there are some of us who are Christians and we can leave totally indifferent. Instead of saying, God, in light of what you have done for me, I want to dedicate myself to you. You could decide, you know what, I'm not going to let this business. Listen, I heard all about sin and how heinous it was. I heard that it made Jesus really suffer. But you know what, I'm going to still love my sin. You could do that. Or the correct response would be to say, God, I'm going to change. I'm not going to be indifferent. Song says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, he says there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Sadly, the disciples were sleeping, but the enemy was wide awake. Within minutes. Isn't this amazing? Within minutes. The throng. Next week, we're going to talk about that. Within minutes. The mob arrived within minutes. The disciples were sleeping. But the evil one was not. And I want you to know, my Christian friend, that while sometimes we are sleeping and at ease in Zion, the evil one is taking more and more territory. We had someone in our office this week and he was sharing with us. He said, was I aware of the fact that in every subway, in the subway system here, there are a number of places the subway doesn't stop anymore. It doesn't go in some of these directions. And he said, are you aware that there's a whole underground life under there? All these drug addicts are under the subway system. He said, did you realize that they're all over the place and this thing is just growing and growing and growing? And to be honest, I didn't realize all that was going on. But I am aware that while we are asleep, the devil is not asleep. And you and I as believers in Jesus Christ need to wake up. This is no time for sleep. And if you're one of those, listen, Let me touch on 2 things here. If you're one of those who are a member of this church and you're involved in no ministry, you better get involved because time is running out. By the way, if you're here and you come regularly, we invite you to become a part of the fellowship. Make the commitment. Allow the Spirit of God to use you. And if that's you, I'd love to talk with you or one of the elders, talk to one of us, because this is no time for indifference. This is no time to sit on the bench. This is no time to go to sleep. But finally, the cross. What can we learn from Gethsemane? The cross is the only remedy for sin. Listen, if you miss that, you missed it. The death of Jesus on the cross is the only way for salvation. You can be as open-minded as you want to be. Some people don't believe that it's possible that so many religions are wrong. And you might be one of them and you're hearing this saying, Brother Brian, the one problem I have with GCA is that you all keep talking about that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Well, let me be frank with you. If there was some other way, when Jesus was going through it in Gethsemane, you better believe God would have found another way. Jesus is at the point of death. and he cries his father. But for him and Christ, is there some other way? If there was some other way, Jesus would not have had to die on the cross of Calvary. My friend, I want to invite you this morning in a minute. If you have never bent the knee, if you have never received this Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to know there is no other way. There is neither is there, the Bible says, salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is it. My friend, this is why. Listen, are you still awake? If Jesus is it, why are you so quiet? If Jesus is the only way, how dare you keep it to yourself? How dare you say, I don't want anybody to look at me funny? People are covering their heads and covering their whole bodies to spread a message that can give no life. People are knocking on your door, offering you some magazines that can give no life. And I want you to know, my friend, if you're a Christian, if you know Jesus, you need to remember you've got the only message that saves. And you can't sit on it any longer. The Spirit of God this morning wants to set a match under you, where you're going to be willing, like the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And oh, I want you to know that this gospel, this dynamite is able to change. The Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God by him. And what a privilege it is to, over all these years, have had the privilege of seeing men and women from every walk of life coming to Jesus. My friend, you cannot witness about Jesus to the wrong person. So I'm closing, but I'm going to challenge you, Christian. What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do? Are you going to be indifferent? Are you going to stay the same? Or are you going to say, Lord Jesus, I want you to use me. God, I want you to use me. It could be that you're half-stepping. You're still playing with sin. God, I want you to change me. God, I want to make a recommitment to you. Yes, he's speaking to you, young person, teenager, older person. He's speaking to you. This morning, are you going to say, God, I'm recommitting my life to you because of what Jesus did even before he got to the cross? But if you don't know Jesus, come to him right now.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, This is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.